Hello and welcome to Chips of Chorlton podcast. We are back.
We are back for the first time since 2020.
2020 doing our podcast thing. We had a little dabble in the old radio show and we thought, I like to swear, so fuck it. You know, we don't want to do that.
We also had a dabble on Zoom, didn't we? Early pandemic.
Oh, I mean, that didn't even make the editing stage.
No, it was pretty bad.
We just tried to rip off the Match of the Day one, didn't we?
We did, but yeah, lacking the bants.
It was really.
Was it lacking the bants? Maybe because we were still so instilled with don't leave your house vibes. I mean, it was early on that we tried that.
It was early. Yeah.
And then we...
It was. It was fine. But we're back now. And what we like to do is review the Mercury Music Prize for you guys. Duncan, you have the Matrix in front of you.
Oh, we already skipping to that
Matrix
bit.
Matrix is ready. Andy is ordering the takeaway.
I'm very focused on it now.
A Matrix and it'll be turned into a bib. In good time, I'm sure. My Matrix turned bib.
Micka Richards style. Yeah. So I'm
kind of living my dream at the minute, and the way this podcast should be about ordering as much filth from this dreadful takeaway as possible, being underwritten by the band card.
This is Band Monet. Is it Band Monet? Can we say that?
It's going to have to be.
Is there a
band? 40 quid.
Is there a band?
Well, PRS came in last week, didn't it?
If you're already up to 40, why don't you just go straight for the Zax thing?
I don't know. It didn't feel right to spend £56 on
what's a tenner in this economy? It's nothing.
Yeah. we need pure volume for this, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Just front load, Andy. Just front load it in.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll deal with it later on.
All right. So
for some reason you said pure volume, I went straight to the online music player. Do you remember pure volume? Do you remember that?
R.I.P. Yeah.
Before MySpace. Was it before MySpace?
It was before.
I think it was. Yeah. So here we are. So we are watching
Ever Decreasing Circles,
which is on BBC4.
Richard Briers in scintillating form. He's carrying this thing on his own shoulders.
It's just a bit bizarre. Right,
honestly, it reminds me of the time I was in Shadowlands as a kid.
Right, okay. that's where we're at the minute. We're just watching Ever Decreasing Circles. That will finish in approximately 2 minutes and the coverage of the Mercury Prize will start. So kind of usual format, we have listened to the albums and we're going to give a little bit of our take of what we think of the albums whilst they are on the telly, basically. So if you're going to listen to it, I'm going to put this out tomorrow morning. If you want to listen to it with the show, I'll let you know when the show starts so you can listen to it on catch up with BBC iPlayer and all that stuff. So the first and the most obvious question round the table, Robin, I'll probably come to you first, is who do you think is going to win it this year?
I think Self Esteem will win.
Yep.
And
that's it. Good night.
That's what I think. And, you know.
Deservedly so?
I'd say so. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a good record. And, you know, it's a second album, isn't it? A second solo album. And it's a real step up from the first one. And it's
100%, yeah.
You know, and it's absolutely smashed it, hasn't it? And it's... Yeah, deservedly so, and I feel like, you know, it's gonna get the prize, but I might be wrong. Who knows?
I'd agree. There's a real momentum, I think, for it this year.
Yeah.
And I think much like how the man of the match of any football game tends to be whoever scores the winning goal, I think there is an element to the Mercury Prize because all these albums are, you know, like. Okay, not all of them deserve to be in this 12, but a vast majority of them do. In the time since we last podcasted, you know, and, you know, banded, taking a lot of time to, like, basically go, you shouldn't really criticize anyone for creating any, you know, anything to a certain extent. I mean, obviously, but there are some exceptions. But anyway, that point being taken in, I think it's going to be hard to define the brilliance between a lot of these albums is what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
And I think what comes down to it is like singular moments, and Self-Esteem's show at Glastonbury was seen and heard by most of the country, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that was a real turning point. You look at the number of tickets she's selling currently for a tour that doesn't start for another 8 months.
Yeah.
Five months.
Yeah.
You know, she sold out two Albert Halls, I think, before it even went on general sale.
Yep.
Like, it's just that many people that are kind of getting on there. Yeah. And it definitely feels like she will be the artist that if she wins, I won't say when, let's say if she wins, can definitely take that win to another stage. It could feel like the elbow seldom seen kid moment. It could feel like it could feel like the shots in the arm that the prize kind of needs.
Arguably, there hasn't really been a moment, an elbow moment since Elbow as well. I don't think. And you're right.
You could say the XX perhaps. Yeah. I mean, like, as he looked at his Matrix turned bib. Who else has won it? And then it's really kind of the XX. That was a big moment, I suppose. Alt J was a big moment for them.
Yep.
I suppose for everyone else, it's really gone in the same way.
You've got to go further back to like maybe the bands like you were just unheard of as well. Maybe like your Gomez, you know what I mean? That kind of catapulted them.
Yeah, this Matrix only goes up to 2000.
Oh, that's fine. Sorry, I remember.
I don't regard the 90s as being a fair time to compare to these times.
Because Ever Decreasing Circles has actually finished. I'm going to turn the volume up a tad so you might be able to hear it off through Andy or Robin.
It's worth saying as well that at the time, obviously, this is delayed now by a couple of weeks because of the Queen. At the time, you know, I think we all kind of came to the same conclusion that Self-Esteem feels like kind of the right winner and possibly the most likeliest.
At the
time, I think she was only third favourite at that point. So, you know, Wet Leg and Little Sims still ahead of her in the bookies.
That's a question I was going to ask. Has the delay helped Self-Esteem almost? If we had this conversation...
Well, she deleted that tweet about the Queen pretty quick, so yeah.
If we went back,
she better not make this about her. I was like, whoa.
Okay, so go. BBC4 coverage has just started. Lauren Laverne is on the telly in front of us now. So if you're listening at home, feel free to watch us on Catch Up, maybe go along with it. But Lauren Laverne is stood outside...
Hammersmith Apollo. Where we saw Kate Bush.
It was.
Great gig.
Happy days.
What a gig.
Yeah. Who was it when you attended? Celebs?
I saw Noel Fielding.
That's good.
And Stephen Merchant.
That's right. I had Sue Perkins. That was about it. Which is good, but you found out Grace Jones.
Here we go.
So first on our Wet Leg. Who had Wet Leg and Sweeps then? Or who had a Wet Leg to listen to and review?
Well, I think we've all listened to the albums, but it was I've
listened to this.
So I was going to say, were Wet Leg the favourite? If this award was earlier in, you know, would Wet Leg have been more a favourite than Self-Esteem?
Chase Long. It's got to be.
No, it doesn't have to be at all. Like, this is an opportunity to... And I think this will be an interesting point. Sorry, I'm absolutely crapping on Rob's... but this is an interesting point to make. Like, you know, when you're playing your band on this stage... I think that's just doubling down on... I feel like they could have picked another song, is what I'm saying.
Go ahead, Rob.
Give us the album as a shape. Like, what is it?
It's, you know, it's very reminiscent of a lot of albums that I enjoyed in, like, the mid-2000s. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels like the sort of, you know, music we will have listened to at the Star and Garter in 2006, 2007, you know.
Yeah.
Great nights and great music. Well... Yeah, you know, some of it not so great. You know what I mean?
Like, there's a much more refined sort of roundness to these compositions than there was back then. I think times you're talking about were a bit more garish sound-wise.
True, yeah, and maybe slightly more. I mean,
I can imagine us hating this back in the mid-noughties if it came out.
It's a bit of a novelty
out, like,
tune, isn't it? You know, and it is a bit like, you know, a 2022 version of 22 Grand Job.
Ooh,
2022 version of 22.
Grand job. Did I say that?
I think there are
better songs on the album. I like the album, but like
we should say that especially when it comes to this song, our views are a bit skewed on it because we learnt this for a corporate gig,
not too long ago, and
I think really fell out of love with the track doing that.
I think I massively fucked it up as well.
That's the second time we played it.
We had to play it twice.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, no. Was it not Frank's friend?
You are quite right.
All right, okay. Yeah.
No, I fucked up. Someone fucks up both of them, probably me.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But, like, the tune Wet Dream off the album reminds me quite a lot of La Tigre. You know, again, sort of like.
I think you're doing La Tigre a disservice, though.
But, you know, but like Star and Garter Staples, you know. It takes me back to
Star
teenage
Garter.
Memories.
Star and Garter Staples, that needs some sort of context.
Star and Garter.
Naive Melody was in there. I tell you what, one song when I hear and I think, oh God, I'm back at Star and Garter. LCD, Someone Great.
It was that era of The Walkman, The Rat. You know.
Yes.
That's the ultimate. Yeah. Well, it's sort of any, you know, indie club staple, really.
But yeah, I saw Wet Leg supporting the Strokes a few months ago, and
oh, this was your Strokes catch-up gig after you were unwell at Primavera.
Yes.
Oh, you had to bring that up.
Hey,
I
was just putting it politely.
And so Wet Leg, the solitary man standing in the audience there for Wet Leg. I think Wet Leg have done fantastic this year.
They have, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant, I think, yeah. So,
but they were great when I saw them supporting the Strokes as well. You know, they,
yeah, yeah.
Would you, if you were in a band, Robin, would you want to go first to play? Not that it makes a decision about who's going to win. It's already decided, obviously. But would you want to go first?
No, probably not.
Do you not think? No. I think I'd want to. I want to get out of the way.
I think. It wouldn't surprise me, and I don't want to get too conspiracist about this, but it wouldn't surprise me if they've been told, we want you to open, and we want you to open on Chaise Longue, just to kick the night off. Yeah, and that would make sense, because I think that's a really uninspired choice to play at this point.
True, but it's something else that we've talked about with the Mercury Prize, is that it's meant to sum up the year, isn't it, musically? It's not only is it meant to be like the 12 best albums of the year, it's meant to sum up the 12... not 12, maybe more or less musical movements that have happened in the year. And so that's, you know, that has been one of the biggest songs of the year.
Oh, yeah, I fully agree.
UK and Ireland.
Yeah, so. I mean, that should win like Song of the Year.
Yeah.
In some respects, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So who's...
Having a look at the shortlist.
Retrospective on the shortlist here.
Oh, yeah. So whilst they're doing the retrospective shortlist, should we go into the Matrix and what the Matrix is and explain it briefly?
For anyone listening, you've all seen... Well, if you've not seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you'll have seen the meme of Charlie with his whiteboard and all the stickers on everything.
Discussing who the hell is Pepe Silva.
Yeah.
And I go over to HR and I go, Karen! Yeah.
This is Duncan's Matrix.
So this is my Pepe Silva moment. Yeah. And I did this back in 2019, and my Matrix told me that Little Sims was dead on to win. She ticked every criteria. What does the criteria mean? It stood for how many words are in an album title, what record label, what size of record label is releasing it, what's your meta... Well, actually, it was Pitchfork rating at the time. I've changed it to Metacritic now just because it was easier to do. Yeah. And probably fairer in that sense. What album was it along that artist's career? Was it their debut, second, fourth album? What month of the year was it released? Because a lot of this does come down to momentum. Mm-hmm. So all that was going on. And I was dead cert, Little Sims, it was a two-word title. I've forgotten what it was. She was the right odds as well. I had odds checkers back then. I've not been asked to do that this time around. Okay. Well, just... Yeah. Anyway, and your punt won it instead.
Yeah.
Dave, Psychodrama.
Yeah.
That was 2019.
Prado's punt, yeah.
Yeah. So, Prado's punt. And we don't know what Prado's punt... Wait, is Prado's punt on self-esteem?
It's on self-esteem.
You put a 10 on that?
Yeah, I put my money where...
Well, I mean, it means nothing. A 10 is nothing. Yeah, you know.
Prado's special punt, you know. Yeah. What are you going to say? A 10 means nothing to a man like me.
No, I was just trying to bring back the whole thing of, I'm just trying to bring back the fact that we might...
Just drop 40 quid on Donner and chips.
I was just trying to bring back the fact that this country might as well be using Monopoly money at this point. that's what I meant. Anyway, yeah, so the averages were... with the averages that I've taken since 2019, I've got the 2020 winner and 2021 winner as well, so Arlo Parks and Michael Kiwanuka. And the new averages are the album title should be 3 words long, ideally. It should, label-wise, basically, if you're on Polydor, you're dead certain to win it. Metacritic wise, it should be around 82.7%. So anywhere between 82 to, I don't know, let's say between 84 to 81 or 80, you know, 80. Like, let's go 2% either side. Yeah. And then the best time to release it would have been the end of February, the beginning of February or the end of January. And it's best if it's your second album. And out of tonight's nominees, only one of them has 3 ticks in that department. Oh. They got 83% on Metacritic. It was their second album, and it was released on Polydor. Sam Fender.
Oh. Wow.
There you go. Wow. Now, how many does self-esteem have? Well, unfortunately, Metacritic, she's on 92, so it's too good.
Too good to win the prize.
It was released in October. It is her second album.
Yeah.
And I think it was released on like a different... It says here, am I reading my notes right? It says Universal. Yeah. So, you know, I'd say that's maybe 1.5 ticks there.
What are the old half ticks? So who have we got
here? Joy Crooks now.
Okay. Who had that? Later?
You had Joey Crooks, I think.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't listen to
it. He did not listen to it.
No, I didn't. I had Nova Crooks. Twins and Jesse Buckley.
Yeah, you should have three.
I only got two.
Well, you should have had this one as well. But okay. Anyway.
So what do you think, Rob?
Well,
I didn't, honestly, I've double checked. I didn't have Joey Crooks.
Let's see where she is on the Matrix
then.
Joey Crooks, oh, absolutely nothing. Nothing going for her. 89, it was released in October. It's a debut album, and title length is nowhere near three words. That was it. Yeah. Self esteem, two words, but one of them's quite long. So, you know, enough syllables there to be three. I think that's what Universal meant.
I mean, it's probably quite lazy to say that she sounds like Amy Winehouse, and sort of.
Yeah, that's very lazy.
The vibe of the album is Amy Winehousey as well, but you know, it's like, it's a good pop record, but it's not something I would.
This is excellent filibustering, by the way.
I know, just filling in for the fact that no one else has listened to the record.
This is like an off the hoof. This is an off the hoof best man speech. Looks at his pissing phone. What? Just on there that you forgot to listen to this album.
It wasn't my album. Let's
dropped a bollock on this one.
go on, Neil. What did you think of the record?
I think it's all right. You know what I mean? When I have listened to it, I think it's okay.
Good competition.
So she's from Ireland. Is that right? Am I correct with that? Was she got?
Don't know. Find out on your phone.
In Dublin. Okay, I'll have a quick look.
Have a quick look on your phone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just having a quick look now. The album did really well chart wise. I'm trying to think of the previous winners of this, and I kind of feel like
there you go. There's your previous winners.
Oh, yeah. Here's the Matrix.
Duncan's got the whole.
Believe in the bib.
Got the whole lot. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm trying to think of who is going to win it this year, and I would like someone that isn't that obvious to win it. I kind of feel like there is, you know, self-esteem, Wet Leg. You know what I mean? I kind of feel like And I kind of feel like the Mercury Music Prize does throw that in front of you, doesn't it? It sort of tells you that that we're going to choose someone who is a bit out there. So maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe Joey Crooks could be that person. You know what I mean? Who could come from the outside and win this outright, purely because it's maybe someone a person who you don't expect to win it.
The alternative albums. The more alternative genres explored this year, I think, are...
Yeah.
They're all... I mean, like, the jazz album's great. It's really good.
Yeah.
The Fergus MacReady
one, yeah. I listened to it on the beach on holiday.
Oh, lovely.
Back when. And I was like, yeah, I'd totally be down with this winning.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, Gueno's one of my albums that I'll discuss when it comes up to it, like Trésor. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that right, Rob? It's Cornish, right? For Treasure. Yes. You know, again, I suppose that could be considered one of the outsiders because it's sort of, you know, it's on its merits of its regionalness, yeah. I assume. It's a good vibe.
Nomination, isn't it?
Possibly. My research didn't go that far.
I might be wrong. Yeah.
Life is short, Rob.
Yeah.
Really good performance there, though. Yeah.
That was
yeah,
good.
It was really, yeah. I think she's gone. We're reading up. Yeah, she is. Yeah. Her dad? Her dad's from Dublin. Irish father from Dublin. That's where I got that from in my head. So, yeah.
So that's the Irish nominee.
She grew up in London, but the heritage is, which I didn't know about. But yeah. Brilliant. Okay, so. Who's going to be next? And Andy has been quiet, by the way. And the reason why Andy has been quite quiet is because Andy's in charge of ordering the food.
Yeah. I finally decided on our £40 chips order. I've ordered a lot of meat. Apologies, Duncan. But there are also non-meat aspects to this order too.
Okay.
But that's going to be delivered, I think, when the winner is announced.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. I think it's going to be a double whammy of... large amounts of meat on chips.
I thought it was like, has it not got like another hour? Does it finish?
It finishes at 7:15.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
Okay. Can I go home?
I've had enough. Can I go home?
All right. Well, no, maybe we're all right then. I think, well, we've got 20 minutes or so maybe before it comes.
24 minutes. That's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. So we'll see who is...
going to be pure filth.
Who is coming... Oh, fantastic, mate. Yard
Act. Oh, okay. This one. This was one of my albums.
There you go.
That's now, this is what I'm interested to see. What song have they picked?
We can turn it up.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's an interesting choice.
Is this a single?
Yeah, it was a single. Last track on the album.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember this one as a single.
You know what? Like, when I was listening to the album again today to refresh myself, like, so, you know, I still recall like the impact this thing had when it came out in January. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it was this the same year. It feels like it's been such a long time since it came out, because they've gone from, you know, they've gone from a number two album to almost like, you know, just touring the world at this point. It's incredible like how much they've expanded on the whole thing. And I think with this song, I was getting very much like a certain Romance vibe from it. It was reminding me very much of Arctic Monkeys' debut, the album as a whole album.
Yeah.
It feels like it has one of those concepts around it. Of course, it's not in the same way of like, oh, it's the beginning of someone's day to the end of someone's night. Or
yeah,
I mean, however that works on the Arctic Monkeys one. We didn't really like that album when it came out. We were too art rock back then, weren't we? We could never admit that they were good.
I think it was with the Arctic Monkeys. It was like, until we saw them at Leeds Festival, it was like, oh, actually they are quite a good band, aren't they?
Yeah,
you know, we were so kind of cynical because everyone liked them. Mm. I think that was the issue.
And a concept like that seemed like a bit like, oh God, like a play.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what are these things going on? But I think with the messages of, you know, the opposition that, and I'm quoting Wikipedia on this, like the opposition that the lyricism that Yard Act have towards, you know, ideas such as capitalism and stuff like that, I think, and the politics around it all, I think to shape an album like that it's clever, and it's really, I think you really get a sense of they've really kind of put themselves into someone else's shoes on moments. Mm. They've spoken for themselves, but they've also spoken about other people and what other people are going through in the same process. And I think that's a quality that is missing in other albums that are out there.
There is like a variety of narrative in that album, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of like very deep set sarcasm and irony. Mm. And then obviously like probably like this song is a bit more sort of straight down the line, like has a very sort of honest message to it, I guess. Mm. But it's like, obviously, the album in broad strokes is sort of, you know, guitar music, indie, I guess, if you want to call it that. But it's a varied album, I think. Like, production styles as well differ from song to song. Mm. Some of it's really, really scratchy, like, really scratchy, garagey. Some of it feels a bit fuller and, like, you know, it just kind of works. It's just sort of like, you know, a bit of an indie anthology.
There's a good funk to some of it, which I was picking up on today. Like, I'd forgotten about some of that, you know, in the album tracks. Because I remember, I think in our now infamous one episode tenure at Reform Radio, I think we try to play a Yard Act song for that?
We did. I can't remember which
one. Well, I've definitely tried to pick their songs for radio, but obviously there's so much effing and jeffing. There's only like three songs on the album you can pick.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and you know, obviously they're the album tracks. But I think...
Did you see these live, Dunk?
I saw them live back in 2021 at End of the Road Festival, and it was managed to catch like three songs of their proper set before having to, you know, head off early because it was a Sunday night bit kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Hate that about getting old and going to festivals. I hate that bit. But also saw them do an acoustic bit like with an electric drum kit, basically, you know. So it was just kind of like toned down, amplified, and it felt like a really special thing to witness. So I saw that, and then I saw them at Pink Room when the album came out. I DJed before them. I was basically asked the day before, I think, like, oh, by the way, this is just happening really quickly, can you DJ before? I was like, fuck,
definitely.
It was incredible show, like, you know.
And you chatted with the dude after, didn't you have a quick
briefly, yeah. Well, we know the bassist, we know Ryan through the label, through Memphis. He used to play bass in Menace Beach, so, you know, friendly faces. And of course James as well, the singer, he was in Post-War Glamour Girls, and I remember DJing like 5-10 years ago, and a member of Post-War Glamour Girls couldn't say hello to me at at one point, thinking, oh, very good, I mean, great name, who the hell are you? Like, you know, just no idea. Yeah. Also, you know, he could say the same thing back to me, but he knew who I was. I don't know whether that was James or another member, but it was nice warm chat. Lovely.
Nice warm chat.
But obviously, you know, that was when the album was coming out, and, you know, just the excitement.
Yeah,
I just love that when you feel that electricity going on around someone, you get to see that or even be part of it in the smallest way.
I like that they sort of, you know, played it cool about the gig stuff as well. They played Yes, where they could have, you know, upgraded it 30 times over, and you know, the same with Band on the Wall. They're only really playing big venues now, which is, I think, pretty cool.
Okay,
so who's next?
This is Koji Radical, right?
Yeah.
So this is another one of mine. Oh, God, this is exhausting.
Reason to Smile was the...
Yeah, Reason to Smile. It's a very good album. No, it's all I've got. I don't want to simplify in any interpretations of it by pitching it against the Little Sims album by any stretch. You know, putting two rap albums kind of back to back to see how they compare. But I think there's a really good variety of production, of genre, of reference. There's moments that feel like he's taking on like old 80s soul disco moments, and there's moments that feel as fresh as London sound.
Yep.
Just generally speaking.
Yeah.
Like it's a really good bounce, and I think what's again. Without comparing it to another rap album within the 12 nominees, if you're gonna come down to anything, the skits on the Little Sims album just do my head in so much, and I lose momentum with it. Whereas the skits on this album, that doesn't happen. I mean, I'm not really a fan of skits on albums, generally speaking, but like I think it's a great. It's obviously it's kind of telling his story. It's his debut album. This is his imprint. And obviously, a lot of it's from his Ghanaian heritage, from his parents.
Yeah,
I think it's amazing. That's all I can say about it. It's a very good album, and I wasn't expecting. I don't know why I wasn't expecting it to be that good.
Yeah,
but it is. It's just really well rounded. Yeah,
I quite like it. I find rhythmically, it's quite unpredictable as well.
Yeah,
which is something I obviously dig.
Yep,
you know, and really enjoyable listen. You know, track to track, it just sort of. Yeah, can catch you off guard, and that's something I really, really enjoy.
And I thought it was going to be too long, but it's not too long because there's other albums that are longer.
Yeah, I definitely had one that was too long.
Yeah, that's one of those things I think we should talk about. A lot of these albums are too long.
Yeah, all albums should be 31 minutes.
I remember Block Party losing me. Silent Alarm, what was it 43 minutes?
It was too
they had
too
me
long.
Up until 41.
It
you
was
know?
There's too many songs on that record.
Yeah,
wasn't
it's just too much. Going, don't yeah, need yeah. it. Don't yeah. need it. Save it. Put out all the save stuff. You know, time. Like
yeah,
yeah. Save but it for yeah. the Losing Steam EP.
Yeah, yeah. You're losing Steam EP. You always got to consider the Losing Steam EP these days before your albums even come out.
Yeah,
am I right?
Uh oh. Spoilers.
That's not a spoiler. What am I spoiling? Whatever it's spoiled. Whatever it's spoiled. Already spoiled for myself.
Yeah, you're spoiled for yourself. Yeah,
but, as I say, this album didn't feel too long, but that might just be because other albums are very long. We're looking at there's some albums nearly over an hour, I think, in these 12 nominees.
Oh, he's gone into the crowd.
Yeah.
Is he going to give his award to someone?
Yeah.
No, he's... Oh,
I mean...
Oh, this is fantastic. Oh, he's giving it to his mum. That's got to be his mum.
Lovely stuff.
Oh, fair play. Isn't there some sort of... Was it Field Music who... Or someone couldn't get their partners into the gig or something like that, wasn't it?
Quite restricted, isn't it, who you can bring to your table?
And no, it's not restricted. You just got to pay out. You've got to pay through the notes.
I think it's quite difficult. I think you only get a certain... Speaking as a band who've never experienced it.
Yeah.
Never will.
And never will.
Just. I think it's easy to say that.
We never will.
Yeah, but I think it's quite. I think you've got your one table, and then after that, you have to pay for the extras.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think is it like band members go free, but everyone else it's like £500.
Yeah, it's probably like band members.
And they've changed venues since then as well.
Well, yeah.
It looks great.
Our good collaborator of the past, Brendan Williams. He produced four of our albums?
Four of our albums.
He produced four of our albums because he produced Go Go Penguin.
Yep. Yeah.
And when they got nominated, he had to just sit up in the garden. I think he still had to pay a fortune even just to do that. He wasn't even allowed near the table. He was like, he produced that damn thing. or engineered it. I'm not
where's
sure.
My dinner?
Relation.
You know,
want me dinner?
He just brought his own scrumpy inside. He doesn't drink scrumpy,
he likes a nice IPA.
Of course he likes. Yeah, he likes IPA.
Shout out to Brendan Williams.
Just while Lauren Laverne's doing this segment, our order is on the way.
Oh, there we go. That's quick. Good lord. Let's get some tables out or something here, won't we?
They're quick with them Donna trays.
Can't be that hard, can it?
Yeah, just cut it off.
Just shoveling meat
shove
and
it
metal.
Out. Okay.
Who are we on here?
Who we got on here?
This is your guy.
No one told me to listen to this one. I'm kidding. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it twice. So Bernard Butler produced this as well. I mean, I was really intrigued by Bernard Butler's production credits as well. I think I said that he's done. He did Frankie and the Heartstrings.
Was that with Edwin Collins or separate?
I think it was.
Edwin Collins did the first one, didn't he?
And he did a gig at Pop Rec and stuff like that. And I just think after reading it and listening to this record as well, it's really Bernard Butler's a bit of a dude. So where am I with this record? I was really surprised that I really enjoyed it. I didn't really expect I would. I think the reason why I enjoy it so much is her voice is fantastic. And I think the record, and it's a collaboration between those two people, isn't it? You know, collaboration between Jesse and Bernard, that they've obviously created this song together quite intimately together in a room and stuff like that. And they've just molded the whole album around her and around her vocal and around her lyric. And it
sort of tell us from this sort of stage setup as well. Like,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not really about Bernard Butler so much.
It's great, and there's load of atmosphere to it. There's a load of people say folk. I can kind of hear
a lot of 1890s couture look.
All that sort of stuff. And I think it's just well written, well performed record. And I
hate that drum skin.
That drum skin, isn't that? And
I hate it, but I actually quite respect it as well.
The drum skin.
I mean, that's
bad.
A no fucks given drum skin.
We really should have rated these drum skins.
The drum skin is bad.
Drum skins we'll of Chilton. I mean, it sounds a bit weird.
It's great. I was really, really surprised to the point where I'd love to, you know, catch it live somehow. You know what
it'd
I mean?
It'd be a nice sit down gig somewhere.
It'd be great. It'd be great, sort of, you know. So it was, really impressed. And could it win? And this is, you know, being of the elderly age now. You know what I mean? Could it win?
As he ruffles the matrix.
Duncan, what's the odds? Where is it?
Well, I'm just looking at kind of like more acoustic led albums where those have actually. You know what? 2 years ago, Michael Kiwanuka.
Course.
Okay. There you go. So no chance.
Yeah.
In the interest of variation.
You know, I suppose I don't know. I sort of
does it
tell my age.
Does it suffer from the fact that Bernard Butler is in it? If it was a bit more undiscovered, or is that the reason it's nominated? You know,
I think it's
very good.
You never know about those things, really. Yeah. But I don't think it's. I don't think it takes away from it if that is a factor.
You know,
in their nomination.
It's a good record. You know, I mean, Jessie Buckley was checked is in her 30s. You know, I don't know. You're right. I don't know if it's just not going to win because Bernard Butler is in the is one of the driving forces.
Do we know any of the judges this year?
I had committed some to memory and then it got cancelled.
Oh, is it giving you the list?
It does usually, you know, on the on the old website.
That'd be interesting.
I
can't remember one single
sausage. I'd hate to put 12 judges' names into the Matrix every goddamn year.
Proper
Nathan Fielder it and find out their whole life story and what they like and who they're friends with. It's all about who you know, darling.
Who do you know? But excellent record. I cannot see it winning.
Nor does the Matrix.
What does the Matrix have to say about them? Did I even put them in the Matrix?
I
may not have. Oh, no, I did. I did. 71 on Metacritic. It's the lowest of the lot, yeah.
Really?
Oh, in terms of, yeah. Maybe came out in June, debut album, no chance.
Maybe I've just got...
no chance.
Maybe I've just got... I've got really bad
taste. Off to the tea room early with them.
Okay, just doing this Google.
It's a sack of crap. Sorry, just is.
When Feel Music were nominated, didn't they say they left before it was announced and went to the pub nearby or something?
As soon as they found out, it's like proper like, right, okay. We're off.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, I found a list of judges.
Oh, so is Neil. I can see him right here.
No, I've got the 2021 list.
Oh, I've got 2022.
Go on, no, Rob. Go on, Rob, before the next jury. One comes on.
Anna Calvi. Uh-huh. Annie McManus.
Oh, God, it's my third album. Oh, jeez, yeah, I can't get a break here.
Here we go. Shall I carry on with this list after?
No, say it now quickly.
Danielle Perry, Hazel Wild, Jamie Cullum, Jam Supernova, Jeff Smith.
Who the hell is Jam Supernova? Jan. If we said Jam, like with an M.
Jam Supernova.
She's DJ. Oh, fair enough. good for her. good for them. Just good for them. Let's talk about Gweno.
Yeah, Gweno. Gweno.
Let's listen a bit.
The album is a terrific vibe. It's a terrific vibe.
It is, yeah.
I don't know what the fuck's going on, but it's a terrific vibe. It's in Cornish, and I don't know.
She's your fellow
Cornish
woman.
Yeah,
woman.
Yeah, Rob, what's going on this record then?
What's she talking about?
Yeah,
I mean, like,
it's about motherhood, isn't it? It's about her being. What the combination of reviews were telling me,
okay,
is that this album specifically is about, you know, the trials of motherhood.
Okay.
Which she's going
through. And she's pregnant as well.
Well, no, she's got a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is she pregnant now as well?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, apart from being 100% Cornish, I don't know any of the Cornish language and none of my family do either. I don't know anybody who speaks Cornish, but it's great what she's done for the Cornish language.
Yeah,
you know, kind of.
Yeah, her dad's Cornish. Her dad was a Cornish poet.
Yeah, but she's Welsh, isn't she? She's
So she's done a Welsh album. She's done two Cornish albums.
And
as I was saying to you earlier, she's got an award from like the Cornish Heritage Board or something like that basically raising awareness of the Cornish language to such an extent that they think that because of her album. A record number of students in the region have decided to take their exams in the Cornish language, which I find hard to believe.
It still might not be that many.
I totally agree with the reasons why, you know, she wants to express her
heritage.
The reason why she wants to express herself in the Cornish language. I fully stand by all those reasons for doing it. Like she's saying, like, it's not one of the, like, I think she's highlighted there's a cynicism when it comes to learning a language. There's a monetary value to learning a particular language. It's for the romance of it. And I'm fully behind that.
Yeah, definitely.
And as I say, the album is a complete vibe. It sounds great. Yeah. I just don't know what the fuck's going on.
To boil it down to someone who doesn't regularly listen and interpret lyrics, quite like not knowing what's going on as well. It's just, you know, I mean, obviously I could easily look into it, but just having a sort of simple melody without knowing what's going on, it's quite lovely in itself.
Like I say, vibe-wise, it's great. Melodically, it's really good as well. And it's just, it's a really good record. And, you know, the fact that it is in Cornish is a really nice novelty that I really like as well. You know, it's...
For the record, our usual guest for these Mercury shows, who cannot be here tonight because he's attending West Away at Glossop North End, which is a classic fixture, and it was completely understandable, Matt Durant, this was his choice to win. He really wanted Gweno to win. So
there you go.
So, Matt, this one's for you.
What about The Matrix, Duncan? What's it saying?
Is this her second?
Oh, absolutely not a chance.
Is this her second?
Well, you know what?
Third album, I think.
Metacritic rating, 84, so that's decent.
There we go.
But it's a third album, and the title length and release times just aren't there.
This is the most convoluted.
Yes,
I like it.
You know, hey. I've never watched Mad Men, but... advertising and presentation is key. It's how you interpret these things. I'm telling you now. And the reason why it's 3.1 words, by the way, is for every single word album title you've got, you've also got whatever people say I am, that's what I'm not, or stories from the city and stories from the sea. You know what I mean? So it all boils down to three.
Yeah.
Three is key. It was two last time. I mean, I'm definitely going to be wrong anyway. Well, you know what? Here's the thing, though. Like, Sam Fender, he ticks three of these boxes, right? And he was 17-1 on the day of this right. actually
That's
going
surprising,
ahead.
Surprising, that, isn't it?
That was, yeah. That's, I was really surprised yeah. at those. I was like, I would have, I was almost tempted to fudge the markets and say to Andy, put a fucking tenner on that.
Yeah.
Like, but, and he might, it might still happen. Could easily still happen. That was the one that Matt didn't want to happen. He did not want Sam Fender to win it at all.
Okay.
But we'll talk about Sam Fender when Sam Fender comes up. Yeah. Because, so interesting discussions.
There we go. When's the food coming, Andy?
It is on the way.
I'm getting a bit Shall hungry now. Getting a bit peckish now, mate.
Can't just say this every time Lauren Laverne comes on stage.
It's around the corner.
I'm just going to start getting hungry every time I see a face.
Wow. It's not going to...
Little Sims.
Little Sims. Who has Little Sims?
Is it me again?
It was me.
This is a good album to listen to. It's a really good album. This is a fun, like... Yeah, a lot of variety.
Yeah, like production wise,
too long.
So much going on. It's fucking great. Yeah, it's, you know, it's, you know, similar to a lot of like American hip hop albums. There's been a lot of, yeah, it sounds expensive in a good way. And there's been a lot of attention to detail, like the samples, the recordings sound fucking great.
Yeah.
And yeah, I really enjoy it. Like, like Duncan said, I think it might be a bit too long.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a spared, no expense album, really, isn't it? Like, orchestral stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's pretty bombastic, and it's sort of, yeah, it's exciting. You know, I think, you know, you put it on, it's like, wow, okay, this is bold, and this is exciting, like...
Not to jump on the song choice that she's playing,
yeah.
But I do recall now, when listening to the album all those months ago when it shortlist first came out, just tried to give all 12 albums as much as I could.
Yeah,
I do remember thinking on this album that, like, especially as it went on, it felt as if maybe lyrically it gets a little dry on ideas. That being said, she's exploring the same things in a sense that Koji Radical's doing.
Yeah.
But with the difference being is that this is her third album. Is it third album? Look, The Matrix will tell me. It's her fourth album. So okay. Is it fourth? Yeah, you know I mean, so it's fourth time round the rodeo. So
yeah.
That is, you know, that's a tricky, you know, like to make such an established thing on a fourth album is, definitely give respect to that. For the record, Neil's run off to get the chips and Donna chips. Trays.
Yeah.
Just in case anyone's wondering where the lack of Neil is. But apart from that...
Has she been nominated before?
Yes. Yeah. Well, exactly. I had her down to win in 2019.
Okay, yeah.
I remember seeing her... I've seen her at a couple of festivals. I saw her at End of the Road last year. And I definitely saw a snippet of her at Primavera this year.
She played Primavera this year.
Your
weekend.
Maybe that was the week. Yeah, because we all went to Primavera, but I went first weekend and you all went second weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Robin, I hardly went.
Robin, you barely went at all because you were McSquits, weren't you? As soon as the plane took us.
Oh God! Yeah.
Worst nightmare. I had a great time on my plane. I was on the plane with the National.
I think I said afterwards it was probably the worst holiday I've ever had.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
It's just like you've.
Was it like...
I don't even know where to start with it. Just the FOMO. You're there with all your friends and they're all going to the festival.
I just
in the morning.
Go.
Seen us in the morning. It's like, how was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to play it down.
Oh, are you TikToking bringing in the takeaway? Don't be such a sad cunt. Oh, look at that. What's this? Is that like a complimentary garlic bread?
Maybe. There might be... the garlic bread. I think I might have ordered a small garlic bread. Anyway, anything else on Lil Sims? Rob?
I think, like I said, you know, I think it's a really good record, and I really enjoy listening to it. And probably one of the few records in the shortlist that I've listened to several times, and still enjoy each time I listen to it.
Yeah.
I know what you were saying before, Dunk,
about the skits, about that kind of that posh like Mary Poppins voice thing. Yeah, I just wasn't down with that. I was like, I mean, I don't mean to undermine any serious message behind what those skits were. I just kind of put me off in terms of a listen.
Yeah,
But then again, I'm never really... This is remarkable. For a lyricist and singer, I never really listen to the lyrics of any song until about the fifth listen. I'm never really paying that much attention. I'm just like, yeah, it's good vibe. Which is why we were saying about Gweno before. Like, yeah, great times. And then when I have to focus, I was like, what the fuck's going on?
Sorry, everyone.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
what the...
We've just ordered...
Good heavens, is that?
I think that's cheesy chips.
Sorry, the takeaway's just arrived.
So this is from Munchies?
Oh, Munchies.
Munchies of Hume.
Yeah. Do we need, like, plates and stuff?
Hume?
In Hume.
Could do with forks, Neil, maybe. That's
forks and plates.
All the way out to Hume? Like, I thought this is Chips of Cholton.
I don't know. We've run out of places to go to.
We couldn't
afford Chorlton, basically.
Naan bread? Naan bread.
I think the moral
Naan breads of North
Naan breads of Northenden.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so get a bit.
There's something in there.
Oh, we're going to have to get some plates. This is absolutely.
Oh, it's big. Oh, it's going to be meat, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's going to just be a crap load of meat.
So it's chips.
Oh, no, it's just regular chips. Thank God.
Straight in. Thanks, Andy. So you want plates and stuff, don't you?
I think
we haven't really prepared very well for this kind of thing.
I'm just off the feel of that. That is so wet and undercooked.
Boiled chips.
I feel like I'm holding poached dick right now. This is really bad.
You don't go there for the chips. Would anyone like some garlic bread?
What do you go there for, though?
I don't know. Well, I don't know.
If you can't get the chips right.
So sorry, I missed all that. I was just getting the takeaway. Oh, wow. Andy, what have you bought?
Oh, there's the lad.
Jeez. Bought meat on chips, mate, basically.
Meat on chips. Okay. I will wait to see who the next...
Self-esteem.
Self-esteem.
Oh, here we go.
Now... So sorry, we are. We're going to turn it up so you can get an idea of what's happening. So we're kind of. We think this is the winner, don't we?
Yeah.
Do we think this is the winner, or do we like we want this to be the winner as well?
I mean, this should be probably more of a collaborative discussion. This is, I guess, everyone's heard this one and a ton of the singles as well.
Are you just doing that because this was your album to listen to and you forgot to do so?
Yep.
I listened to this album anyway, I think, so I thought I could remember it, but...
Yeah, it was always going to be this song.
This track's the centrepiece, though, really.
It is the centrepiece. And yeah, it was Guardian's number one best song of the year when it came out.
Yeah. Mm.
But I still don't... I think this is the challenge that I think Self-Esteem has ahead of it now.
Ooh,
which is to really make a single which... cuts through like after
sauces
can we stop talking about sauces? The winner's on here. I think if and when she wins, her next challenge is to really get into like top 20 single territory. Like that's what she should be aiming for. That's what she's capable of doing. This song is great, but it's also the same as Baz Luhrmann Don't Wear Sunscreen and to some extent.
Oh, it's, well, like, I'm sure she's inspired by that. I'm sure that's where this song has come from.
But you know? But the narrative of this is much more meaningful than that. But like this is a real moment.
Yeah.
But that's, I think, the one thing that frustrates me about the album is that I don't think any of the singles have that real crossover moment in terms of cultures. In terms of like as a DJ, something I could play at the pop nights I do.
Okay, you know what I mean?
Because obviously this is a great song. This is a great song, but you couldn't just drop this in the middle of it all. I mean, you could if you were good enough.
Again, this a bit like the Little Sims one feels like a No Expense Spared album.
Yeah.
When this song first came out as well, I heard it and I thought it's so different.
Yeah.
So different from what she's done before as well. And the message is obvious. It's direct. The production's great. Expansive. You know, it's no surprise that it's really caught on, I think.
Yeah.
But like you say, Doug, about the top 20 singles, like. I mean, it's going to have to be... She's going to have to go pop, like pure pop.
Would she do that?
I don't know.
No. She's got this far on her own terms.
Yeah.
I think she can get further still on her own terms. I think she might have to get some producers in or whatever else happens, but they'll find a way of making sure it doesn't have the same texture as other stuff that's in the charts. They'll have a way of making sure that it happens. And I mean, like,
it's a strange one in this point in her career, like... Where do you go from here?
Yeah,
I mean, it'd be quite interesting to see what she does next. Like, you're right, she could get some big dog producers in.
There's a feeling.
Oh,
following self-esteem from the very beginning of what she was doing, because I found it hugely inspirational for myself at times. But I found her talking on like Le Mac's roundtable is very refreshing, and honestly I took a lot of inspiration from, like, you know, hearing that and being like, yeah, you know what, these things can be possible, but not in terms of like trying to break away or, you know, break up the band or anything that. Yeah. There are ways of there are ways of still, if you still don't feel like, you know, for as a singer that kind of, you know, like, I suppose I'm revealing too much about myself at this point, but someone that feels as if like I've never quite found that song which makes me plant my flag in terms of, you know, like, kind of, well, that's me and only I could have written that and that's great. Like, you know, she is definitely a leader of kind of like, it's never too late to find that moment.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? So it's incredible. But it definitely feels as if Prioritized Pleasure is kind of like a, to some extent, a better version of the first album. Like, you know what I mean? She kind of went, right, well, this is still the message. We're just going to make it, as you say, no expense spared.
Yeah.
We know where we're going with this and we know what we're doing this time around and we're not going to mess around. I used to work with her session player, Sophie Galpin, at Font Bar, back in the day. So
She's playing the keyboard.
She's playing the keyboard right now and the bass.
We gave her a lift in the van once.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I was supposed to DJ a wedding with her a couple of months back, but like the wedding was booked about 3 years ago. And then like a few months before the wedding, I was like, yeah, Sophie's not going to be there, is she? Yeah, yeah, yeah. The bride was like, yeah, she's busy. I was like, yeah, I thought she would be.
Well, like there was like an interview, you know, when the album came out and she was saying like the inspiration behind it was like the 90s for her when she was a kid and how she wanted to be a pop star when she was a kid. So a lot of the inspiration for this album is 90s pop.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously that kind of...
you don't bring it back to the Baz Luhrmann comparison.
No, I'm not going
to
bring up that. I mean, that does fit into
I just
that.
Meant that a bit flippantly, really.
No, but it does fit into, but I mean, it's like... but it's great because obviously, you know, she's similar age to us. And so that kind of resonates. But also it fits into a lot of the trends and the aesthetics of nowadays. And, you know, a lot of people are into the 90s now. Mm. So it's good timing, but I think it's from her. It's just what she wanted to do, and it's really good.
Yeah. It's and as we were saying before, definitely feels like, well, as I was saying before, definitely feels like she's the artist that can make good use of that and project it into another dimension.
Yeah,
if she wins.
Yeah,
and at the same time, especially when she first got nominated, kind of seeing what it like. She like I remember seeing the posts that she had like on her socials around it. You know, going.
Yeah,
you know, being from Slow Club and, you know, what it meant to her to finally get this moment. Like, obviously, we feel that, you know, like, oh my God, yeah, that must feel like really fucking good.
Yeah.
Oh, now surprise, you can't read.
I don't want to. Yeah, like, go on, Andy. If you got any, what's the charge? A succulent kebab, kebab and chips.
Mate, he said, it feels so privileged to be like, fuck off, mate. You just show up and. Sing your songs.
Go on, mate.
Sorry, Neil. I spilt some beer on you.
No, it's all right.
You knew he wouldn't. You knew he wouldn't be here.
You defend this record, Andy.
Let's have a look at my notes.
He's going to get...
Now, I didn't mind him at Radio 1 Big Weekend. I quite liked his energy. And I quite like him. And him as a person, nothing against him. But him as a careerist and a singer can absolutely fuck
Hang
off.
Hang on. Could we just judge this
Sorry,
song?
I need to stop swearing so much.
As it is, though. Yeah. It's a fucking banger.
Oh, it's a banger, but it is also... It's
on the table. We covered this song.
Yeah, no, we covered this song at the same gig that we covered Wet Leg, and I much enjoyed singing this song over the Wet Leg song.
It felt like it was in the lane, and if anyone else was doing it, I think we'd probably vibe it even more.
But we're only talking about one song.
If the main riff wasn't such a rip-off of Aha, you know.
I don't know. Don't want to get too hot.
There's only so many notes, Robin.
Oh, mate. But the infinite combinations.
You have to look at like what Ed Sheeran's been saying recently. I agree with him in a way.
What's he said?
Well, he said the same sort of thing. Like people come for him and sue him because, you know, he makes pop music and people, people have also made pop music and accuse him of ripping them off.
Yeah,
which you know, like it's
who's Harry Styles ripping off?
Aha.
What, this?
Just the synth riff, nothing else. Like
exactly.
Nah,
exactly.
Stop that. He's a cultural vacuum. He'll do anything. He doesn't dress himself. That's what annoys me about. Like, I love how good clothes look on him, but he does not dress himself.
Oh, Rob, you can't put your mic on the projector, mate.
Where can I put it?
Put it on the floor.
Like, it's like watching, like, this is the musical equivalent of watching Married at First Sight UK and watching all those people do all those speeches at the bloody end when they got to remarry each other. And you can go, you know, the same person's written all of these speeches, right? It's a complete...
I'm still going to defend the person who wrote this song, even if it wasn't Harry Styles. Yeah, and it's a brilliant song. Like,
that's absolutely fine. This is a great song. This is a great song. And as I say, his personality at this gig is charming. I quite liked it. It was a bit Alan Partridge-esque.
Yeah. I mean, like a lot of pop albums now that want to sort of push the boat out and sort of post big pop acts like he is, the albums have to be... The reason that it's nominated is because it's a varied album. Sadly, the album is... It's a very varied album. It's... Sadly, listening to this track, then listening to the album, I'm ultimately disappointed by the album. Yeah. The album is much more varied than I thought it would be, and it veers very heavily into pop. Like, it almost feels like this is the sort of tease single that sort of gets you into the Mercury territory where you think he's a established pop act who could be deserving of alternative credit in a way. But the album doesn't reflect that.
Sam Fender's album pisses on every single one
he's
of the
on
tracks.
A, he's on mine as well. So.
You know, but Sam Fender's album pisses on every single one of the Harry Styles tracks on Harry's House.
But they've taken styles, some of it's a bit Beatlesy. They've taken styles and they've tried to make a sort of like, review popular album. And personally, I don't think it worked as good of a song as I think it is. I think it's a perfect pop song in a lot of ways.
I just don't get his career now. It's like, I want people to master one form before they start trying to plate spin everything else. And that film, what was it called? Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, was it even a film? I like that conspiracy theory. There was no film. Just a load of shit.
Yeah, just a load of memes.
Yeah. Like, when I think of his career, I think of J-Lo's career at the same time. Like, J-Lo made some good films. Maybe they were a bit tacky or a bit crap, but it was the 90s back then. You could do that. There we go. Yeah, let's talk about some real music.
Yeah.
Whilst everyone munches on kebab in the background. Kebab jazz.
That's what Fergus would want, Yeah. Kebab jazz.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm just loving it now.
I enjoyed the album. Yeah. It's always mentioned as the token jazz album, isn't it? Which it always feels like, and it's always.
How often do the token jazz albums win? Do they win? Is it only
very rarely?
Very rarely, sort of once.
I mean, Duncan. Let us know.
Have they ever the Ruffles.
Has the token jazz album ever won?
When was the last time a token jazz album won?
Never. Benjamin Clementine wasn't jazz.
Was Anthony and the Johnsons, were they?
Anthony Johnsons was not jazz.
Was that not, no?
You know what? I think the nearest you've ever got to a jazz winner is probably Ronnie Size.
Okay.
In the 90s. And when I say jazz winner, I mean like
drum and bass.
When I say jazz, I mean drum and bass. But I mean like an alternative winner. You know what I mean? I mean like a winner whose genre
a bit
was...
left field,
was, yeah. Yeah, like a left field genre. It's probably that. Unless Speech to Bell? No chance.
No.
Okay. Nah, everything else is...
So suppose if a jazz album hasn't won it...
It could be time.
Is it this year?
Well, we won't know because I couldn't be bothered to put the Fergus MacReady album onto the...
So we'll only know if he does win. That's the...
Wow.
It's a really good album and he's obviously an amazing pianist.
But
if it is a jazz trio and it's like, I feel like I might have seen this before. Like other jazz artists who've been nominated for this before. Think about like Sons of Kemet, The Comet Is Coming, Go-Go Penguin. They've all had something a bit different about them.
Yeah.
Whereas this is a bit more kind of jazz trio-y.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like he's pushing that many boundaries.
Well, what do you think about the opinion that's always put out there of... Why is there a token jazz nomination? Why isn't there a token heavy metal nomination?
Well, there is this year.
Nova Twins.
I suppose there is. Yeah.
Heavy metal. You have done no research.
No, it's not heavy metal.
It's really not heavy metal.
It's not heavy metal, but it would get played in Satan's.
No, it wouldn't.
And we would tusk.
It really
and
wouldn't.
And we would tusk as it happened. Early doors. We'd be like, why? And, then, right, and we'd is, be like, why? And we'd all look at each other and go, why are they not playing Interpol for us?
You ain't getting. There's something close to heavy metal, but why? You ain't getting a Satan nomination for any.
I was at a wedding 2 weekends ago, and the bride and groom were determined to take a select few to Satan's. I was like,
did they get
no,
in?
No, they cancelled the taxi an hour before. I was stranded in Leafy Oldham in Lydgate. I was like, you buggers.
You ain't getting the Satans. So we think...
Although, congratulations, Matt and Rowie.
If you're listening.
If you're listening. It was a lovely wedding.
Yeah.
So I feel like where he's put his Mercury prize, they're just expecting like a bottle of Huel. Yeah. Something.
A can of Monster. Oh,
yeah. Hench piano, bro.
Good on him.
Gaines Jazz.
Floor. Brill.
Yes.
Well, there we go. Whilst we're doing another segue, is there any albums that were amiss from this shortlist? Whilst we're waiting for another segue from Lauren Laverne, any that you can think that should have been nominated that weren't?
How about well, not that I think they should have, but I would have expected it to be Fontaine's DC. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that missing? Yeah. Would you say that was missing?
Good album.
I suppose
they have been nominated before.
Yeah.
What about Our Friends?
Oh, Everything.
Yeah.
You know what?
That was a great album.
You know what? That is great album. That album. Yeah, like I was getting Get to Heaven and Man Alive vibes off it.
It's a good album.
I think seriously,
very good album.
Not to say anything like backhanded, but like a real sort of like
hold on, the heavy metal style.
Like, it felt like vintage EE in that way. You know what I mean? But obviously nothing wrong with new EE, but it felt like vintage EE. Yeah, like
for sure.
Yeah, it was a great album. So well done, boys.
Yeah. So Nova Twins have just taken the stage. One of my albums.
This is thrust upon you because I didn't want to swear too much. But yeah,
it was
kind of
like who's having Nova Twins. So I listened to both their records, and this is the first one. It's very raw, and it has got that, or has it? I'm wrestling a little bit with it. So where they get labelled a punk band, and I'm not. I don't really kind of agree with that. I think it's really polished. You know, I kind of have that old school kind of attitude.
Too shiny for Woodstock 99.
Yeah, exactly. You know, punk should be people who don't know how to play or don't know how to record. You know what I mean? That's kind of what punk is for me. This is very, very polished, this record. Yeah. And I think
this is like superfood punk.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a bit over-polished. And I kind of feel like it's a problem I have with bands in general, with when they progress through their career. I just have this assumption that bands will get a bit more creative and a bit more edgy, you know what I mean? So I'm always thinking of a particularly band like this, you know, could they have turned into another version of Prodigy, you know what I mean? Sort of that kind of, to take it,
you mean, like if they had a more natural progression.
Yeah So
because they've been A&R'd to the
if they weren't bound by the commercialization of what they are, what would have been their second record? You know, could they have
still time for that?
Yeah definitely. But I kind of feel like There's a lot of bands that I expect creativeness from, if that's a thing. And they didn't really deliver on this record for me. Listen, it sounds great, right? And I think they're great. I just don't know from the first record to this record. I just feel like they've gone a bit too Linkin Park and less Prodigy for me.
It's reminding me of when we used to support Outrage in Ashton Underline.
It's going to take a lot of explaining that.
Yeah, it's going to take far too long. Let me put it this way. This feels like the musical equivalent of the industry going, sorry, kids, sorry you didn't get to vote in Brexit, but have this. Sorry you weren't allowed to vote in your future. But here's a voice. it's shite. Sorry. I listened to it with open ears and I was like, this is objectively bad.
I don't know, you know, I don't know.
The production of it, it sounds like it's all just played by a computer.
It just feels a bit.
He's not even got a jack lead in that.
It just feels a bit over.
Like, I've not seen that since played with garbage.
Radio leads.
Yeah, I know, but like, I know that. I'm not saying she's miming. I'm just saying that, like,
if you swapped your mic for like a leadless mic, Dunk, what the fuck are you on about?
Talk about
just
spoilers.
Miming at this point.
Talk about spoilers, Neil.
Sorry, mate.
What have you just cracked open there?
It's just another wedding band rehearsal.
The wedding band rehearsal. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, that was just a wedding band rehearsal. What are you talking about? I only brought that in just because I'm moving house and I don't.
What musical was it from again?
Yeah.
Greece, spelt G-R-E-E-C-E. It was the Battle of Troy as a musical.
Right.
I played Achilles.
Nice.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I had a song called Oh, What a Lovely Day to Have a Jolly Little War. Anyway.
I said there was no love for Nova Twins there, really.
Nah, it's just shy.
Yeah, it's definitely marketed as punk, though, isn't it?
It is marketed as punk.
Rebellious.
And it's not punk, right? You kind of feel like Fontaine's D.C. is more punk.
Of course.
You know what I mean? A wet leg more.
I don't want to talk about the grown-ups being back in the room or anything like that, but like, you've only got 12 albums to pick for a year and that ends up in there. It's an absolute abomination.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's there purely just to appeal to a younger audience that may have never have heard of this prize before. Which is...
Oh, here we go.
Who's on now?
Possibly, according to The Matrix... The winner.
The winner? Is this...
Mr. Sam Fender, isn't it?
Oh.
I've got notes.
You got notes.
I've got notes. You got notes for this
proud
one,
I've got notes, Sam.
And he showed up, he's put his kebab down, he's ready. He's serious. You put your 10 on it yet?
So self-esteem, mate.
Is he there?
It's going to be self-esteem. Although you wouldn't think it off that performance there. I think self-esteem's performance, we didn't really get to say at the time, but it felt quite humble.
Had to be this tune as well, didn't it, for Sam Fender?
Yeah, I mean,
I think it went for sort of viral on every platform it could have done. It was a big song anyway, but it was a big hit on TikTok as well.
It's so X Factor, isn't it? You know what I mean? When you sort of look at it and
it's X Factor, but it's it's kind of it's authentic.
Yeah,
it is authentic.
It's X Factor as the Killers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see
real
this,
similar vibes.
Yeah, I see this and I believe it. I do believe it.
Sort of like evangelical, you know,
But maybe it's because he's English rather than American. It feels a bit more.
It feels. Familiar.
It's Bruce Springsteen upon time. that's all. It's but in a good way. I think that's a really good thing. I think it's really. That is what a lot of modern pop music is now. It's just trimming the fat off old classic ideas.
And that's
exactly what's happened here. All I can now see is Robin's ass.
Robin's having thirds on the chicken meat.
Thirds on the chicken.
Shovel it on, lad.
there we go. Goodness me.
How's the naan?
It's good.
Is it all right?
Yeah. What
kind of naan is it?
Regular naan.
I mean, I forgot we were going to do chips. Are we going to talk about how bad these chips are?
Probably not.
I mean,
it's not about the chips.
I mean, the Hume
chips.
Even though
the podcast is called
It's the flat out zero. I'll tell you where they are on the fucking Matrix.
So he's...
This is an album that's too long, by the way.
This album is too long. However, the songs at the end, really good. Songs at the beginning, really good. Except maybe track three.
It's a deluxe version as well, where it's even longer. I'll listen to that. I don't know.
It's just not necessary, is it? But
this is a cut through song. This has cut through to the youth.
Yeah.
And not just the angsty youth, like all the youth.
All the youth.
I'm trying to think of reasons why that's happened. Maybe because it's just, you know.
Well, talk about younger audiences. You know, talk about younger audiences, as we were with Nova Twins. You know, a lot of younger people have. Without getting too whoa about it, a lot of them have just gone through a life changing experience of COVID and lockdown, at an age that is so key to engagement. That feeling of brotherhood, the sense of friendship and brotherhood that I'm feel from this. It's almost reminist of Woo Life's album.
Yeah, I know
you know what I mean. Friends are friends for life, and
Talking about his career. We're saying this album's too long, and
it is.
It is But I mean, there is a lot of good stuff in there. This is his second album as well.
Yeah.
It's this impressive body of work.
Three ticks.
If you think about major label acts who fucking smash it on their second album,
yeah,
with a sort of very solid pop singer-songwriter album, like, it's quite rare, I think, that someone like Sam Fender does it at this point in his career as well. You know, you'd think at this point, sort of like pin-up pop star would be on the way down now. But this is, you know, this trajectory is, you know, completely the opposite.
Are we still five years ago, wasn't it, that he
supported Dutch Uncles on Five Live.
I'm sensing a tone in Andy's voice where we're still fawning over him when we met him that time. Even though
he was really lovely, though, wasn't he?
That was years ago. That was the last time we did anything sort of, you know, officially as Dutch Uncles in some respects. Mm. You know, like, especially in a radio sense. And we were just playing with him on a Christmas edition of some Five Live thing.
He was lovely. Yeah, he seemed very genuine.
He was really, like, you know, I hate to do the Lemmy tweet, but really down to earth, really, really genuine person. Like, he was really nice.
I remember you
really
saying,
nice
he, like, he was just a bit surprised about how cynical
we were.
We were, yeah.
Yeah,
it's great.
There we go. They're the kids.
But you know what?
Kids,
you know what? I
don't remember 5 years, Sam.
You know what? You know what? Though. You know what? You know what? You know what? And this is credit to a character. I had a proper donging spot on my forehead that day.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't say anything.
And he didn't look at it once. He didn't look at it once. He didn't look at it once. And you know what? You know what? Chris Hawkins couldn't take his eyes off it. What do you make of that? That's not a diss on Chris Hawkins. That's a diss on my spot.
It's
proper dogger. Look, I had a sniper follow me.
Oh, hey.
Always happens at Christmas. What is that about? What's that about? Does that happen to you? Call in. Let us know.
That's a good tune. It's a good tune.
It's a really, really, really good song.
It's a really good song.
It's a modern classic.
It's a good tune. It's a good song. Matt Durant's going to hate this, but it is a good song.
It is a good song.
The album is significant and... If anyone's going to beat self-esteem, I think it's going to be
him. I agree.
The Matrix says it so. You know what I mean? That's it.
Could be him.
Okay. So who's left? Who haven't we seen?
I'll tell you who.
Go on. Who we got? We've seen Nova Twins, Gweno, we've seen...
No, that's it, actually.
Is that it?
That's it. We've seen everyone.
It is just past 5 past 10.
Yeah, this is it. It's time now.
We're all going to put Donna Meat down for the announcement.
I don't know, I kind of do want thirds.
You want Donna Meat. Well, good job, because there's loads left.
Yeah, well, it'll always get finished.
The chicken's nice.
So we're just, so we are just waiting. Is it going to be straight away? I'm just going to turn it up, so hopefully it might definitely
Well, there's only 10 minutes left. Less than that. And they've got to have a speech.
A speech. Here we go. Is this it?
This was last.
This is Arlo Parks. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Now, one thing I was going to talk about during Yard Act was doing the research on it all, because they were in the BBC Sound of 2022 list. Because I did think Yard Act, being outsiders, I did think they had quite a higher chance than one would probably think that they did. You know, like, let's say somewhere between 5 and 10 to 1 on winning this. So I was like, oh yeah, they were Sound of the List. Like, I looked at who else is on Sound of the BBC list, and Wet Leg were number 2.
Okay.
No surprises there. But number 1, Pink Pantherus. Like,
who?
Pink Pantherus. Like, nothing wrong with Pink Pantherus. Actually, quite a few things wrong with Pink Pantherus, and I say that as a DJ, just because, like, all of the songs, none of them are longer than 2 minutes, and they're quite heavily sampled of different songs to the point that they're almost covers. Okay. But since winning that, she's released like one single this year. You know what I mean? It just feels like
even put out an album.
Yeah, it just seems like really bizarre.
Yeah,
like it feels as if, like, because there's definitely going to be some conversation with the BBC and these artists to find out what's going on where, because you do want these lists to look successful. I just can't believe how kind of off the radar that's all been. Just, I don't know. Yeah, there's my pointless rant.
Yeah,
apologies. But bullshit.
There we go. Arlo Parks, winner last year.
Arlo Parks is being interviewed.
Do you remember Rob on that stage? The ninth wave. Oh, God, when she's floating in the sea, but she's watching her husband and son watch the Chelsea game. Like, come on, Chelsea!
Yeah.
Are they playing Man United? I feel like they might have been playing Man United in it.
I can't
I was like, get in. That was such, like, that was by far the best act of the three. Oh, Kate Bush's Before the Dawn, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah,
I mean, that was perfection.
That was special.
That was really special. Yeah. It felt like the whole thing, it should have just been called The Ninth Wave, to be honest.
Yeah, that was...
Like the third act was too long.
Yeah.
Okay, final predictions. Who's having it? Neil.
Self-esteem.
Duncan.
Sam Fender.
Robin.
I have to stick by The Matrix.
Andy, self-esteem.
So three selves and one Sam. But for the record, I'm only saying Sam because The Matrix says so.
You made The Matrix. You've gone to the effort to make The Matrix. Yeah. So you have to.
Well, I didn't even have a rule.
Go by its whims.
I had to freehand those lines.
Who do you think was the best performance tonight?
Hard to say because we've been just chatting shit over all of them.
Harry Styles.
I quite like the yard. Think about the yard act.
You could say maybe yard act. Maybe yard act pushed it.
I would like Yard Act to win it. You know, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think we'd all like them too because they embody nihilistic chaos. Mm. Like that's their whole thing. It'd be great to see it all just go into sweep into a black hole like that. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
Gweno is Matt Durant's pick. So
Lil Sims.
Yeah.
Could easily win it.
Some good albums here. Some good records.
Ah, it still feels like
I'd be happy if Little Sims won it.
Yeah.
Nah, it definitely feels like self-esteem's to lose at this point.
Give it to Harry Styles.
Give it to Harry Styles.
Give it to Harry to the end of the season.
That'd be so shit for
Imagine him just going, like, it'll just cut to him and LA going, oh, wow, yeah, great. I can't wait for Simon Cowell to have this. Never.
Will it be? I can't be the Nova Twins. I don't know. This is it. This is The Matrix says it. It's Sam Fender.
It must be bizarre having to play that every night. So anthemic, so like, uplifting. You know?
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh, man, so good. Let me turn it up a little bit. Whether I breach copyright by doing this, but let's see if we get a bit of background noise of that. A little bit tenser because the time has now come. Who does it? Does Arlo Parks present the...
Does it work like that?
It's a bit like Marble Hall Battle of the Bands, that. Last thing you need is a Homeless Joe experience coming up and giving you the award.
your mate.
Yeah, my mate.
I'm surprised you've never heard of Jam Supernova.
She's on Six Music
right
there.
She's on Six Music all the time.
Is she?
Yeah.
Here we go.
I don't listen to radio. I stopped doing that when I was stopped doing that a long time ago. Fuck's sake.
It must be. Just imagine being there now.
They'll already know. They'll know.
Do you reckon they'll know?
No, they won't know.
Do you reckon they'll know?
The major label acts will know.
Right,
those WhatsApp groups.
There'll be like a wink, won't there? There'll be someone in the know. Just look at them and go.
So that list of judges, there'll be a leak.
Of course, there will. I'm just gonna turn this on. This is a truly exceptional album. Here we go.
The winner is.
The winner of the 2022 Mercury Prize with Free Now is.
Lil
Sims.
Oh. Fair dues.
The Matrix
is ripped up.
The Matrix dies again.
Oh no, we're going off to the next channel.
No.
Neil, no.
Absolutely.
News at 10.
I'll put the news on.
Body in the shower.
Slip of a finger. Here we go. There we go. We're back on. Lil Sims, there we go.
I don't think anyone can have any complaints there.
No. So what?
It's a great album.
Yeah.
I was sure she was describing the self-esteem album. Then that was
Well, I mean, you could describe any album like that.
Yeah. Well, fair dues. It is. Yeah, it's.
You know what? Yard Act were right. Sorry, that was a sound of
it's through a chip.
If anyone heard that clap, it was the sound of a chip, a wet chip
hitting.
Slapping a paper bag.
Whatever happened to Wet Chip?
Well, in so that, she got to play again as well. We've got to set all the shit up. That, and she got to fucking play, to play it out.
Like X Factor.
Yeah.
Do they?
I think so.
No.
No, I swear.
You're thinking of Stars in Their Eyes.
Am I? Is that it? Well, Aim.
Wow. I'm very, very overwhelmed. I'm very grateful. Glory to God.
Duncan.
Thank you so much.
What would be your speech, Dunk?
Because you're going to have to... Listen, the best speech you can just say is, thank you.
Is that it?
Yeah. Hitchcock it.
Yeah. Imagine the...
thank you. Walk off.
Before you
what
up
else
there.
Is there to say?
I don't think you would do that.
Well, it doesn't matter because it's not even a hypothetical.
Well, it's definitely
completely
a hypothetical.
What would you do?
Well, no, I'm saying it's beyond hypothetical because even if, say, we were to release an album next year,
yeah. For example,
if that was that,
we're not getting anywhere near that dozen. Nova Twins will be there with their third album rocking out. We're fucking near it. They wouldn't let us. Not the state of us. You saw the faces when we walked into Electric Bar last Sunday. It was terrible. We can't even walk around Cheltenham anymore. We were very drunk.
Totally fine.
I mean, at least if it was, you know, if you did have to make up a speech, our team is very small.
Yeah, you
so you couldn't forget anyone. Do you know what I mean?
Just thank you guys.
You saw my
album. Thank yous on album two. I kind of do regret that because it just looked a bit spiky beyond reason, but yeah. I meant it. So I don't need to be getting all legacy about things.
So with I'm just going to turn it down now. So we'll probably wrap up now. But well, congratulations to Little Sim. Sometimes I Might Be Introvert, winner of Mercury Prize 2022. Well deserved as well. So as a band. Again, we'll probably never know, but you know, where do bands go from here? Basically, you know, what do Yard Act think now? You know what I mean? So do they think it's an opportunity lost? Do they think they can capitalize on it, or what? You know, what would like self esteem, etc. Where would, if we were on that didn't win kind of vibe, what would we do?
You crack on,
yeah,
yeah,
absolutely, yeah.
This award to be nominated is an amazing thing.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, this award's been. You know, in the mainstream, out of the mainstream, it is pretty unpredictable, as you know, finding out with the Matrix, and that's
yeah.
I suppose that is the good thing. A lot of people, yeah. it's easy to criticize this award as well because ultimately, it's you know what is the best album of the year. Objectively, doesn't exist, does it?
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
It's a very new Labour kind of phrase.
It's so difficult.
It is. Yeah.
Ultimately, when Little Sims was announced there, we'd all listen to that album, and you know, the judges have probably done a really good job. Like, no one had a bad word to say about it, and it was.
This album means £20,000.
Yeah.
And that's all it means.
Yeah.
And it's up to the artists to take that win and project it into something else, in a sense.
Yeah. The only major criticism of the Mercury Prize that I agree with sometimes is that it often doesn't discover. Things that should be. It often sort of massages things that are already there in the mainstream that have some sort of success.
Right.
Apart from the one sort of token jazz album, which is.
There was that 1 year, wasn't there? And I forget who won it now. Might have been the Alt J year, actually. There was a year where every single nominee had already sold about 20,000 records,
or maybe
10,000. It was all people who were fairly established and it just didn't really.
Sold enough.
It sold enough for it to not really make a difference. A bit like later with Jules Holland. Just doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, it will make a difference to like maybe one or two bands throughout a year. You know, like Jules Holland, that is. But like, it's not...
It's not the Dave year.
None of it's really enough to actually... When you consider how much is there and how much needs processing, there just aren't enough people there to do the admin.
Mm. Yeah. Music and songwriting aside, Harry Styles... Should there be a rule where he just shouldn't be allowed to be nominated.
Yeah, no, well, I suppose, I would like, you know,
it's a waste, isn't it? It's a
the
waste.
Spice
of a
Girls
space.
Were nominated in 1997.
Yeah,
you know, because it was fucking massive. That was it. And like artistically, it's not the best album, is it? You know, it's just it's there because it was huge.
Harry,
I suppose that is a representation of the music of the year.
But this is the best album of the year.
Yeah, but that is a mixed message, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, it is.
Harry Styles is the musical equivalent of the fucking Jubilee, you know, like, and it was in there, like, it was an imprint on the year at some point. Like, it's kind of like, you know, there is like a time and date to this thing, and I appreciate that. Like, whenever I buy vinyl, it's always like a timestamp. It feels more like a postcard than anything else that I'm buying at that time. So yeah. I do, yeah. Like, there's room for big artists like that to be shoehorned in because they have had an imprint on what the consensus has been throughout the year.
What you say about the £20,000 thing as well, you know, that money is there and suggests that it can propel a career. That's that type of. Whereas for Harry Styles,
it's
nothing.
With inflation, it should probably go to about 45 now. Mm.
But if it's in that sort of category, the £20,000 prize, then really Harry Styles shouldn't really be involved at all because it makes zero difference.
He shouldn't be involved at all because he's not a musician.
It goes into half a music video.
He shouldn't be involved at all for. A myriad of other reasons, but it's just it is what it is. But
people would argue either way if he wasn't in there, probably. Or there was a major pop act that had an album with some credibility. They would argue.
Yeah, I mean, is he there to pull in pop listeners? You know, does Harry Styles fans?
Exactly.
Now,
is it publicity for the award?
Yeah, exactly.
What I'm sensing is an air of disappointment in this room as to the result, even though we all know. Completely legitimate result. Like,
are we generally
a totally deserving album and stuff? But I just, I think maybe. I mean, like, again, it feels increasingly like the award means nothing, as I said, except for £20,000. And it feels as if the award. I mean, I don't want it to fudge results just to make you know some kind of WWE kind of scandal out of itself. But it feels like it needs something that really. Pushes something further, and I'm just not sure that this album does that. It just feels like a worthy winner, but it won't be news after a week.
But is it just because it's
already big? You mean?
Yeah. Well, Little Sims is already big on her own terms, but I don't know. Like, maybe it's just I just didn't get the album that much. Personal taste. I just didn't get this album, but I love previous material.
Yeah.
I just didn't get this one.
Is it just that we've watched this whole thing, and eventually you want the underdog to win? And when they don't,
I don't know.
Feel disappointing.
By watching the FA Cup.
Yeah. Who is the underdog?
Magic of the Mercury
isn't Lil Sims.
I'm trying to think. That's why a Yard Act the underdog in
probably
this.
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who the. Just looking at the.
Yeah, Nova Twins are probably the underdog.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we are disappointed. Maybe we are disappointed by the list in general. Maybe we'll see where we are in a year's time. You know what I mean? But I don't know. The album's fine. It's okay.
I feel like there's only so many of these left. You know.
Yeah, it's a trick. It's an interesting one.
Like it needs a kick in the arm. Like, because honestly, I mean, obviously, COVID's had a huge part of sort of the momentum of you know, people, how people spend their money, how people engage with things. Like, it's like more than we'll ever really know.
Hmm.
But like.
I suppose you're right, and the sort of the expenditure on music, you know, the news today about Glastonbury, we were sort of chatting about.
We didn't really get around to that, did we? Music stuff at Glastonbury.
I mean,
we have about like 20 topics we could discuss about a podcast,
which we will discuss in the
we'll
future.
But to
put it this way, Glastonbury will not be the only festival to increase their prices. Let's kind of be frank about it, and. Yeah, thank you very much for listening. It's going to be pretty raw, this podcast. I'm just going to pop it out, basically. You know what I mean? So stick it out, unedited.
It sounds a bit Rogan-y, though.
It does, doesn't it? It's going to stick it out. It's going to be all fine.
Oh, no, you meant in terms of edit. I thought you meant in terms of future episodes.
I'm not going to edit it. I'm just going to stick it straight out. We will do. So we're all getting together as a group of people in a couple of weeks' time for a nondescript item.
To do what?
I don't know. What are we going to do, Andy?
Chips?
We're going to eat chips, yeah. So we'll hopefully, you know, try and have a bit more regular release schedule for these podcasts. That is the point.
What you're trying to say is, we're back, baby.
We are back.
Podcast is back.
The podcast is back. Dutch uncles aren't.
Henmania.
So round the table. Thank you very much. to Robin, Andy and Duncan from Dutch Uncles. This has been the Chips of Chorlton Mercury Prize special. And yeah, we'll catch you soon. Thank you.